This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We now enter the Knowledge Bank as we always do on Tuesdays. For the first time, my guest is actually in studio for the Knowledge Bank. So that is a great, great, great fit. It's an interesting master's thesis that we are going to be unpacking, and very important in the space of talking and thinking about questions around road fatalities and how we can minimize accidents, but what are the causal effects, first and foremost, and some recommendations on how to change these. I know we usually just have quite a basic conversation when it comes to road accidents and road fatalities, where we just say drunken driving. And I've always been so annoyed by that simplicity, because it really overshadows a very important, nuanced conversation we should be having about road accidents. It's not just about people who drive under the influence of alcohol. That seems for me the lowest hanging fruit, the most obvious. But there are other issues, behavioral, some are infrastructure, some are about volumes of cars on the road. But it won't be for me to unpack that this morning. I've got my capable guest, Dimakatso Machitele, a scholar who graduated, her master's at the University of Johannesburg. I'm asking Dimakatso because I know we are quite slow to graduate people now under COVID times. Good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning to your listeners as well.
No, thank you for joining us. I mean, aptly titled formulation and test of a model to explain the complexity of road accident events in South Africa. Before we even get to the meat of the matter, what attracted you to this topic?
What attracted me to the topic, it's the high numbers of road fatalities in South Africa. So as a young child, I was still in high school when this topic intrigued me. I would see a number of road accidents, and at the time, I was intrigued by the cause, as in how does a car kill a person when they're inside. And I've always thought maybe I'd be an engineer and solve it in the engineering space. Mm-hmm. And when I got to my master's, I was privileged to have Professor Q. Yusuf from the University of Johannesburg keen to take me in for us to do the study under statistics. So he's a statistician as well. Yeah. So we did it with using statistics, so which was very interesting that we could understand a little bit more into road accidents using statistics. Although I'm a geographer, it's a geography degree.
No, absolutely. Before we get to that, because you also create a mechanism to be able to predict what might happen in the next 10 years, presenting average scenario and the worst case scenarios for road accidents. You know that question we all get when we are formulating our research topic and agenda. They say, what is the question that you want to answer? So at the core, when you set out, I mean, I read your problem statement, but at the core of it, what is it that you were trying to achieve?
At the core of it, what we wanted to achieve, as we read through literatures, we realized that the literatures have identified that road accidents were complex. And in the South African context, we only have studies that are looking at the contributory factors such as your human, your environmental, and your vehicle factors. And we wanted, and as well, due to the data that South Africa has, we said we would like to use all that data to look at how complex are road accident events, because we can see that, as it has been stated, that it's a system. It's not just a person or a human error, but it's a system. It's a failure system. So we wanted to understand it from that viewpoint on what are the other factors that are contributing to road accidents, and what are the trends, because our study, it's a period of 82 years. So we dated it back from 1935 to 2017. So we looked at it, the trends, on what are the trends from 1935 to 2017, and what are the future trends as well. And what does the model say to us in terms of what is contributing to road accidents, rather than just a mere human factor or a vehicle factor or an environmental factor.
Now, that is quite loaded. You then tempted to synthesize data from a variety of sources. How difficult was it, I mean, getting data on road fatalities, but also ensuring that it is data that has been, call it for a lack of better word, authenticated, audited data that you find credible so that it can be statistically significant to you?
My supervisor had suggested that I first find the data first before we go ahead. That was a problem because we, in South Africa, the Road Traffic Management Corporation, it's the agency that has the data as well as Statistics SA in terms of population. So we went back and dated it back to 1935 to 2017. But within our data set, there was inconsistencies that we found that were missing because at first we wanted to look at what is the accident severity during the weekdays, demographics of the drivers, and we realized there were huge gaps in that, so we couldn't use that data. But with the data that we had and the limitations, what we did then was to impute the data so that it fills in the missing gaps. Yeah. So we did have a bit of a problem there in terms of the data being consistent over the years. But then with the imputation, it did allow us to not have any biasness in terms of the results that we analyzed.
I mean, that imputation also means that you then have to build in a few probabilities, assumptions, and what in that journey of completing that data did you take into consideration in some instances where there was actually just no data at all?
Likely the date there was data. So I'll give an example. So you'd have 1935 to 1950 where you've got the data consistent. But then from 19, I'll take the number of road fatalities. So you have the data from 1935 to 1950 where it's consistent, but then you have data missing from the year 1961 to 1980. Then that was the problem. So the imputation was able to fill in those gaps using the average, just filling in the averages of what the data said. So it was not a huge gap, but in terms of the data, the other variables that we would have liked to include in the model, that was now a huge problem because we'd have data for 10 years and our research spans for 82 years.
Yeah. Let's go to something I find quite interesting, your meta model to explain road accident events in South Africa, because it becomes the heartbeat of your thesis in terms of the data that you collect, how you do your regression analysis and correlation, and to check if there is any relationship between certain figures that you were looking at, and to actually come out and say, well, these are the high causal factors that are involved in road fatalities. Just take us through that theoretical metadata meta model. I did find it fascinating with all the errors flying and jumping around.
So the model that we had, that was the one we did as a hypothesis.
Yeah.
So we have 10 variables with 4 response variables. Our 4 response variables was your total number of crashes.
Okay, maybe let's try to break it down. We here on radio are just DJ. What is a response variable?
So your response variable, it's a one that would, it would, so there's your response variable, then there's your predictor variable. So your predictor variable is the one that has an arrow to your response. So it would respond to, let me try to simplify it. So as the number, so your response variable in this case was your number of road accidents.
Yeah.
So your number of road accidents to increase, there needs to be something that influences it. So in this case, your predictor variable maybe would be your total number of vehicles. So as your total number of vehicles increase, your response variable, which is your total number of crashes, it increases due to your predictor variable, which is your number of vehicles in this instance.
Now, talk us through those variables, 10 in total, and why did you choose them as this important? I mean, you talk about total number of vehicles, registered vehicles, unregistered vehicles. Why is this distinction important? What does the literature tell us insofar as understanding road accidents?
So, again, due to the data that we got, we used everything that we got from the RTMC. So the 4 response variables were quite important to us, and we broke them down. So you've got your total number of your total number of road accidents, and then we broke it down to two, which is you got your number of fatalities, which is your number of fatal crashes, because one can still be involved in a road accident, but it's not fatal.
Yeah.
But you do have an instance whereby one can be involved in an accident and it's fatal. And then we've got your number of casualties and you've got your number of people killed. So it was important for us to distinguish all those four, because we want to understand how are these four impacted by our six predictor variables, which is your number of vehicles, your whole number of vehicles. Under your number of vehicles, we then have two groups. You've got your registered vehicles, then you've got your unroadworthy or unlicensed vehicles. From there on, we had your number of issued driver's licenses. Then we had our population in South Africa. And then we went on to having our distance traveled per vehicle. So it was important for us to distinguish all these, because literature does explain that this is a system whereby they are everything is working together, so to say. So we wanted to have a better understanding on what is contributing. Would, if the number of total crashes increase, does it have an impact to the number of total fatalities increasing? If your number of fatal crashes are increasing, does it have an effect to the total number of persons increasing? If our population in South Africa is increasing, are those four response variables increasing but individually? Because what we found in our model is that, because our hypothesis was that if your number of road accidents increases, then it will have a cascading effect on your total number of casualties, your total number of fatal crashes, your total number of fatalities. But interesting, our model showed us that in some cases, there is no cascading effect to the other four variables. And hence, it was important for us to distinguish that, because the model came back to show us that there might be key variables that we don't have, meaning that we still need that data set in terms of your human behavior, your demographics of your drivers, might be their sex, their gender, or gender age. And sex is the same thing, age, the education. So we might need those, and policy enforcement. That might be another variable that is key to showing us a bigger or a clearer picture of what is the complexity of road accidents in South Africa.
In fact, I do want us to come back to this question on missing data sets and probably how that can be bridged, because I've always felt that at the take of information during the scene, while the scene is being cleaned up and being understood, there isn't much that is being done from a capturing of data to help us understand this better. But just paint us a picture, Dimakazo. I mean, how bad is the situation in South Africa? And are we seeing it getting better, or it is getting worse? I mean, in your introduction or abstract, you talk about how in low and middle income countries, road accidents tend to be 90% fatal in most instances, and they have this huge cost and burden to the economy. It doesn't seem we are as bad in South Africa in terms of the percentage of accidents that lead to fatalities, but you still paint quite a grim picture about where we are.
We're not bad, as you have stated. We're not bad, but still we can't be, because the last December or the festive season, we had a drop 7% compared to the 2019 to 2020. And last year was 2020 to the 2021. We had a 7% drop in road fatalities, but they were still at the 1,200 mark, which is still bad, as we cannot be losing people on the roads, given that as it has been stated, that accidents are quite preventable if the correct measures or correct policies are placed, because road accidents in South Africa, they contribute to us losing at least 3.2% of the country's GDP, of which that GDP that is lost, it could be placed in solving other socio-economic issues that the country faces.
Yeah.
So than us having to be losing it to, than us having to lose so much money to that, we could be using it for something else. But also, the fact that it causes grief to the families and we're losing breadwinners on these road fatalities. And also it has been pointed out that it's the young people that we're losing on road accidents. It's not your, it's your productive, your productive group of people that we are losing on the roads.
And also, I mean, a burden on the healthcare system, no doubt, given the categories that you listed of the impacts, that it's not just the fatalities that we are worried about, but then there are other types of injuries, and including people having to leave work because of permanent forms of injuries that they may have sustained. Can you just take us through some of those that you alluded to in your thesis?
So some of those, we've got trauma that is in, the families have to incur by losing their loved ones, and disability is one of them as well. Some get disabled and whereby they're unable to go back to work, leaving their homes in terms of distress, in terms of their livelihoods are impacted. And also we, some would not be able to, in terms of families left off, your children being left off, orphaned as well, is also one of them. So it's broader than just one losing their being disabled. We have to also look at the trauma that is caused to the families and how some are left without having a livelihood to sustain themselves, especially if the person they've lost in a road accident was just the only breadwinner.
I mean, we have a huge road network in the country. I mean, a paper you cite says estimated at 750,000 kilometers. Is just this tarred roads, or it inclusive of gravel roads when we talk about the volume of the road network in South Africa?
That would be your tar roads. But then there is an inclusion of your, that is just your tar roads. That is just your tar roads.
And across, I mean, those that are nationally owned or provincially serviced. Does this accord with, if you look around other countries in the world, where does it put us in terms of our road network? Are we ranking quite high up, or we are actually within the norm?
We are ranking high in terms of our road network. We might not be in your, we might not be compared to your developed countries, but we're ranking high in terms of your middle income countries. We are ranking high up in terms of our road network.
Okay, my guest is Dimakatso Machitele, a scholar, talking about her thesis, formulation and test of a model to explain the complexity of road accident events in South Africa. This is something that has a lot of us anxious. Most often when your loved one hits the road, you always want to check up on them if they are still traveling safely, if they are still looking after themselves. But if you have a question and you want to be part of this conversation, our line is 0861 987 000, and of course you can tweet me at Lukonamguni, hashtag power talk. I will definitely make sure that you form part of this important conversation. I've got a tweet from Xoxeka Mfundisi. She finds this an interesting conversation and says, I must ask you, if you saw a pattern associated with time of day. We seem to see more serious accidents around early morning, and she's in the healthcare sector, so I'd suppose that she's probably from a lived experience point of view, at a point of receiving, sees those incidents. But when you were looking, and as a geographer, you may have been interested in that. Did you look at patterns of day in terms of that data?
Actually, that is one of the important variables that we wanted to test on our model, but we did not have the consistency of it. So we only had a data set for that for only 10 years, but so we couldn't continue with that due to the inconsistency of it. So the time of the day, and also the time of which day it is, because in one of the studies in the literature review has stated that the accidents are likely to happen at your afternoons, and also in terms of your during the week time, it's your Monday, your Sunday, your Friday, and your Saturday. That is where accidents are quite at a peak or higher. So those are some of the variables that we would have liked to include in our meta model.
But when you gleaned the data, did you get any sense of within the 10-year period? I mean, that's still a little significant in terms of that period of time. When you gleaned over that data, did you get any sense in terms of what is most likely?
Most likely it's during the evenings, your afternoons from your 4 to 5, and then also during the night from your 10. That's something that I picked up as well. And in your, so those are the times of the days that you'd likely, accidents would likely happen during your afternoons, your 4, going to your 5, and also during the night from 10 to 11. That's what that's the pattern I saw from the data at the time.
Well, after news headlines, I will want us to talk more on this. If you can just, I mean, even if you didn't have the variable as part of the 10 variables, which I've seen, but just talk more in terms of geographic spread of the incidents. If you had any curiosity about that, weather, I tend to find that if it rains, people stop having driver's licenses, for example. But let's go to news headlines with Thomas White.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mbune. Call Lukhona on 0861-987-000.
And tweet me at Lukhona Mbune, hashtag Power Talk. We are here, the Knowledge Bank. This feature is where we make all intellectual deposits and make sure that we unpack various forms of work, from academic writings in terms of theses, papers, to reports that are interesting from certain institutions and books that people have written. So I always say, if you want to bank intellectually, not money, as in Amali, guys, but at least the intellectual matter has not run out. So you can bank. My email address is lukhona@power987.co.za. And literally, we enjoy receiving some of those, and we are going to start curating them as part of the Knowledge Bank. But today, my guest is Dima Gadzo Machidele, and we are discussing her thesis, formulation and test of a model to explain the complexity of road accident events in South Africa. Not this always trying to make easy of the problem, because then when we make easy of the problem, we tend to frustrate the process of policy formulation. Let's go to the lines. Just take some notes, Dimakad. So, Wellington, good morning.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, good. You actually have a super fan of the researcher on the line. I'd like to congratulate the market on the work done. My personal experience, the blood, sweat and tears, being her old brother, I think I'm very, very proud of the way she's handled herself. And the interview, I mean, she's speaking to you, Lukhona, who usually kills politicians.
I'm kind. I'm always kind.
Not when you're speaking to politicians. So no,
yeah, because they mess up.
But I've just got a question for her. What does she think can be done from, supporting university students from a perspective of resources to help, you know, conducting some of this research? Because I think it can be a lot easier and expedited a lot more if, you know, they have the right resources. So from the person who's actually been in the field, which is her, what does she think university students can be empowered with to make it easier to do their research?
Absolutely. Thank you, Wellington. Thank you for calling in this morning in Johannesburg, Jeppestown. Tebucho, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm good. And yeah, I would like to ask Dima about a question there. I wanted to ask her, what would road infrastructure lead to road accidents, and what are the possible solutions which can be done in order to reduce road accident rate?
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Tebucho. Dimakazo, seems as if our callers are taking us right smack bang to the end point of your dissertation, talking to the recommendations, which some parts you say it's difficult to make a recommendation because the correlation of causal effects is not so clear. But there are parts where you've made significant and important recommendations. So perhaps as you respond to this, you take us there too.
Okay. Can I have the second question? The one on road infrastructure.
Yeah, would road infrastructure have an impact on accidents, and what are some of the things that you think can be done? And I think it touches nicely to a comment made by Kotlega, where she talks about in areas where it seems there's poorly developed infrastructure, the impact of the accident tends to be much more pronounced in some instances.
Yes. I think with road infrastructures, especially, which is also a contributory factor that has been highlighted by many studies, whereby you've got your environment, which is a contributing factor to causing an accident, whereby you can find that the road is not properly, it's not tarred properly.
Yeah.
And that calls for municipalities to actually take charge in making sure that our roads are properly built to allow cars or vehicles to operate properly.
Yeah.
Because you get there, these big potholes, you get that
absolutely
the road is not properly properly maintained for vehicles for drivers to drive or motorists to use the road. So I think that calls for municipalities to take charge in making sure that our roads are maintained. But I also want to come to another point that road accidents are not only impacting motorists but also pedestrians. So also we need to look at that. Pedestrians also need to take into consideration that there are spaces where they are not allowed to cross on the road, such as your highway, which is your highway, your freeway. So we as pedestrians, we should make use of a spot where it's designated for pedestrians. And if one finds themselves in a situation whereby there is no point of a traffic light or there's a pedestrian crossing, one needs to assess if it's safe for them to cross the road, assessing to make sure that even, I'll take an example, even if for me as Dimakatso, it's safe for me as a pedestrian to cross, am I not putting the motorist in a situation whereby they would be in danger, whereby now they try to stop to save my life, but there's a car coming at a higher speed where it would knock them down. So we need to take into consideration that we need to assess the environment we find ourselves in.
In fact, Dimakatso, just on a lighter note, I've argued that we need pedestrian licenses. People just don't know how to walk on the road.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? But then let's talk to some of the things that you propose can be done to reduce road accidents. And it seems as if you start just at the point of the number of cars on the road.
Yes, the number of cars on the road comes back to a topic. One is our public transport infrastructure in South Africa. If we could have that maintained and put in a good light, then we would have less of motorists relying on the private cars and using more of a public infrastructure, using your rail infrastructure, which unfortunately now in Johannesburg.
Another story. People have built houses on top of railways.
So if we could use our taxis, our buses, so if we could have a healthy public infrastructure, that would result to us relying less on our cars.
Mm.
And if we could formulate lift clubs, if you know that, if I know I work with you at the same place and we just stay in the same neighborhood, we could just formulate lift clubs to minimize the number of the reliance on cars on the roads. So it's also a formulation. I think the most important thing, it's a proper or healthy public infrastructure that will enable us to take a step back in relying on our cars, and also in terms of testing of drivers and making sure that the cars are roadworthy. If the cars are found not to be roadworthy, a fine needs to be given. Cars need to be tested their roadworthiness, and to make sure that we don't have an issue whereby I know if my car is unroadworthy, I can just still put it on the road and risk the lives of other people. So those are the key recommendations I found to play a role in at least minimizing road accidents.
But tell us about unregistered vehicles. And you know, I mean, you do talk about the fact that some are not licensed because the person might have forgotten to renew their license disc, but some are not licensed because they won't pass the roadworthiness test. How bad is the situation with unlicensed or / unregistered vehicles? And if you were to say they are a contributory factor into road accidents? How would you gauge it?
Okay, actually, unlicensed vehicles, we found that they've got a relationship with some of the variables that we tested. They might not have a significant, but they still have a positive relationship. So they would have a positive relationship with your number of total crashes, your number of your casualties, your number of fatal crashes and fatalities, meaning that they actually are a situation, they are contributing, and therefore something needs to be done, you know, because they are contributing to your number of total accidents that we experience in South Africa, even though it might not be a significant correlation, but the fact that it's still positive, that means that it is contributing, and therefore it means something has to be done in that light.
Before we went to news headlines, I wanted to find out, do you see a relationship with geography in terms of the landscape of our country? Are the provinces that are experiencing more accidents than others? Are those that may be notorious for fatal crashes than others?
There is quite a geographical relationship, because we noticed, even though it's not included in the study, but we've noticed that in provinces where the population is higher, which is it's a demographic variable, where the population is higher, the accidents are higher, whereby you've got your Gauteng, your KwaZulu-Natal, and your Limpopo, where your populations would be higher, and meaning that your accidents are more prevalent. And whereas in a province like the Northern Cape, where there's less people, there are less accidents to be experienced in that province due to the population being lower. So there is that geographical relationship in that, in terms of the population or the demographic of population. And I just wanted to answer the question on how students can be supported or empowered. Empowered in doing research. I think organizations that do have key data should work. I think they should work in partnership with students. I think it's a good thing if you've got your organization, such as your research councils, going to universities and spotting that talent on which students are interested in topics that might be whether be it in science, your economics and stuff. So I think it would be important if organizations partnered with universities, of which I believe from what I've seen they are doing, but if they could go more and students to be the awareness as well that there are these organizations that are working with students, such as the CSIR, which is one of them that does a lot of work with students, and your agricultural council also does work with students as well.
In fact, I wanted to highlight exactly the point you're making, that when we think of resources, we tend to think money. The greatest resource any researcher needs is access and data. But did you find any gatekeeping when you were doing your study for information that may not have been publicly available?
I actually have to thank Stats SA and the RTMC. Whenever I contacted them to request the data, they were willing to assist me, so I did not struggle with the data at all. They were willing to assist, be it an email. They did email me the data that I was missing, because the RTMC does have the data on their website, so I was able to download, and if anything that was missing, I could email them and they were able to assist. And StatsSA was able to assist as well in terms of the population data that spanned from the 1935 period to the 1950s.
Sure, you are the envy of many researchers, including myself, when I had to fight gatekeepers for ethical clearance. Let's go to Mxolisi. Mxolisi, good morning.
Good day, Molo.
Good day.
Hi, good day, Bao. Molo, I'm going to talk to you about the
student. Hey, wait, Dimakazo, what do you mean?
Good morning, sir.
Yes. Good day. My question to the lady would be, in her study, did she look at the how the law enforcement is involved in also in the accident rates in the country? I'll tell you why I'm saying this. When I look at the situation and I drive on the roads, I see law enforcement as more like revenue collection, but not law enforcement. when it comes to traffic enforcement.
Yeah.
So what has the study found in this thing?
No. Thank you very much for that call. I also have two voice notes. Okay, we're still probably trying to get those voice notes uploaded. So you did talk about some variables which you may be interested for future studies, and I suppose the one on law enforcement might fall under those prescripts.
Yes. In terms of law enforcement, there was one of the variables that we tested out. It was on licensed drivers. We found that it had a positive correlation with one of the response variables, which was one of the crashes or casualties. So from there, we stated that it might be that the law enforcement, the corruption in terms of giving out your licenses, your issued number of driver's licenses, whereby the drivers are not able to really drive, but due to corruption and buying out a driver's license, that enables one to still be on the road.
Yeah. Now,
but we did not go into detail into that.
Into that, yeah. What do you think should be done? You spoke about the missing data. We don't know much on people's behavior. I'm going to read you a tweet now that I've received from Gauhelo, who says, existing literature on road safety suggests that a driver's perception of safety is an important influence on driving behavior. Research question is, how to measure the perception of safety given the complex interactions among drivers, vehicles, and road setting. I mean, we're just talking about this in terms of how difficult it is as a researcher to access genuine, authentic responses at times from your respondents, because they might self-implicate if they are reflecting on their behavioral attributes or perceptions of road safety.
And actually, at the beginning of the research, we wanted to take that route as well, to look at interviewing people that have been involved in road accidents, interviewing people that have been that are related to someone who has been involved in an accident,
yeah,
and also the drivers themselves. But it comes back to people not being authentic with their answers, and hence we did not proceed with that because it would not give us the concrete the foundation that we were looking for, because the authenticity of one's answer, because you might interview me and on how do I cross the road, and I can tell you now that I do go to the traffic lights and I cross, and that doesn't assist in anything in terms of formulating the model or the key points that you're looking for.
But I mean, as researchers, that's why we have triangulation. Is this something you think we can get around via triangulation? Because I do think we can't run away from it forever.
I definitely think it's something that we should work on getting that data set on the perception of drivers and also their demographic data. I think that's something that moving forward, we should look at getting the demographics, getting the behavior of the drivers and their perceptions on what they think. And I think it could be in terms of surveys or questionnaires whereby they just sent out randomly during your festive season or your Easter long weekend, where we can get a input on how drivers think or their perception on their driving and the drivers around them. Because I think every one of us has a perception of how other people are driving except for ourselves. So
absolutely,
it'd be interesting if we found it from a point of someone reviewing what they think about the drivers around them. And then surely we could get a better picture than me giving a review of what I think about myself as a pedestrian or a driver.
Absolutely. And as someone who spends a lot of time on the road, I'm often more worried about people's behavior. Just the senseless ways of lawlessness where people jump red boards, don't stop on stop sign, overtake on double barrier line. But let's hear those voice notes, Oza.
Alicon, it's KG. I think on the issue of the the geographical setting, it's not only about too many cars in one area, too many cars in one city. It's about behavior. people letting the guard down. Now, someone would be driving and driving decently in Gauteng, and when they get to the Eastern Cape, they somehow wants to become the Michael Schumachers of those areas. When they get to Limpopo, it's the same thing. You know, in Gauteng, they might be one of the most well-behaved drivers, but when they go home at a specific time of the year, like in December during the festive seasons, their behavior actually changes. Want to try and actually show us something that they have never done in the city. As Lalin. Thank you very much. It's KG.
Thanks, KG. Okay. Seems like the second...
It's KG. Oh. I think on the issue of
It's the same KG. KG can't be getting too many bites. James in Hammanskraal, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Fantastic, how are you?
Good. I'd like to bring input, but I'm not sure if maybe this would be relevant to her research. But
go for it.
In regards to, you know, there's a new system that they're trying to introduce, the ARTO system.
Mm.
Now, there's an issue with foreign driver's licenses in South Africa and how they regulate it, right? For instance, in South Africa, how a driver drives and how the punishment would be is that if you drive with a South African driver's license, the punishment would be that if you get a ticket within Gauteng, your license, this can be blocked and you can't renew your driver's license.
Yeah.
But this would not be an issue with a driver's license from foreign countries. I'm talking mostly SADC because they mostly find themselves drivers within South Africa. But how the system works is it doesn't affect how they get punished for the problems or the mistakes that they do on the road. So I just think that needs to be changed. And maybe on her next research, she just needs to dwell a little on things like that and how that would impact a driver behavior as well.
Okay, James, thank you very much for sharing that with us. I mean, Timakazo, literally this talks to policy issues as we wrap up. Maybe is there a need to dig deeper into enforcement, but into also policy that is there?
Yes, there is a need to dig deeper into policy and also for researchers as well, for them to have the necessary data to, because I believe research assists policymakers to understand what they're working with. So yeah. As soon as we've got that relevant data of our demographics, as callers have been stating, especially behavior,
yeah.
If we could have that data, I think it would fit in properly in the model, and that would assist policymakers to know what they're looking at in terms of geographical and behavior, and it will allow them to, when they're implementing policies or the systems such as the demerit system, they'll
yeah.
know what they're working on and how to move forward in that case.
It seems a PhD is on the roll. No pressure. Timakazo Machitele, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.